Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to continue a little bit with this thing of the law. The Bible talks about the law of the Spirit of life. Sets us free from the law of sin and death, because we see that sin and death is a law. It isn't just something that happens. It is a law. It's always there. It's always at work. It's always in action. So he says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free." Has, everybody say has. It's not something that's going to happen. It's something that's already happened. Set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness, because he didn't sin in the flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he was an offering for our sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he judged sin. Sin was judged. Our sin was judged. The law of sin was judged. And he did it in his flesh. He became sin. He did not do sin, but he became sin. And he was the payment for us to be free, right? But he said he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. God's law required all of these things that we needed to do, and we could not fulfill them in any possible way. None. God said this. Actually, God did not want to establish the law. God just wanted to establish a relationship, but the people of God said, no, you just speak to him and tell us what you want. We don't want to get close to you, and don't want you to get too close to us. So that's the reason we have the law today. You know, he wanted the relationship. But the law was one of those things, and it is one of those things that it shows you where you're not living up to his standard. It's a mirror to show us, but it's holy. But it had to be fulfilled, and Jesus knew, God knew that, so that's the reason he sent Jesus, and that's the reason that here in Romans 8 that he sent his son, and he condemned the flesh, that the law may applaud. Everybody say applaud. That the law may applaud you becoming acceptable to God. See, in Jesus and because of Jesus, you are acceptable to God. And it's the Bible said that word of said when the law fulfills us in the law. In other words, the law is actually applauding, say, you made it. You are now acceptable to God. Because there's nothing from the law that says you're required to do this. Why aren't you doing it? Y'all with me? Because in Christ, we are complete. We're already there. We begin to see this also. It said those who are walk according to, or who are according to the, let's see, who walk not after the, I'm in a hurry. Says the law is fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. This whole thing about Christian life is summarized in the thing about being born again. After you're born again, your whole life is to walk after the Spirit. We walk in the Word, but we walk after the Spirit. We follow the Spirit of God. Some of us, we have to learn that, and some of us, it just takes us a long time to really get it inside us, that the Spirit of God is inside us. We talked about that resurrecting, and the resurrection power of God is alive inside us. But yet we find ourselves, and as Paul found himself in Romans chapter 7, that I'm trying my best to live this Christian life. I'm trying so hard. He's using willpower to get there. And he realizes in chapter 7, you know, every time I want to do good, I don't do it. And then when he begins to rehearse all these things about his endeavor to please God. Well, a lot of us Christians, We have this endeavor inside us to please God out of our willpower. We got this list. Well, if I don't cuss and don't chew and don't run around with them who do, you know, then I'm pretty good. No, he says, if you violate one law and you trying to fulfill the law, if you violate one, you're guilty of all of them. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? But Jesus didn't violate any, and he was the sacrifice for us. And when he died, the Bible says, when he died, we died. Our old man died. And when he was buried, we was buried. And then when he was had rose from the dead, we rose. New life came to us when we said yes to Jesus. But see, even in that, we still try to endeavor a lot of times because we still hadn't got this thing right within us. Because we're still thinking, because man still wants to be in control of our destinies. He controls your destiny. We need to find out what his destiny is and live in it. Right? But Christians, you know, I've been one of those Christians that has just tried the willpower and tried to live up to the do's and the don'ts. And even though I lived up to some of them, there were some of them that I failed in. And then after a while, being a Christian that way, even though I was a Christian, I really was born again. I know I was born again when I was 8 years old. Remember it like it was yesterday. But even in all of this, I just could not, I just can't make it. Just can't make it because I was trying out of my own mind, out of my own willpower. And eventually that will wear you and I down to the place of being, this Christian stuff is wearing me out. It's not any fun anymore. I'm not having any fun. I'm not doing this. But see, what we do sometimes and what we allow ourselves to be done, we allow ourselves to be valued by the flesh and the world. We get what we've gotten what we needed from the world. And even in that, we don't really realize that what we really need is the life of Christ being lived in us and through us. Have you ever wondered why God allows problems, struggles, trials, difficulties, disasters, why he allows those to touch our lives? We focus so much upon all the things that are going on. What God is trying to get us to be in is not be in a circumstance and be captured by the circumstance, but he wants us to be captured by the presence of God in that circumstance. Right? So instead of our focus being on what is wrong, what's happening, I'm not saying you deny the circumstances. You don't do that. That'd be lying. If it's bad, it's bad. But see, what we need to be a people of, we need to be a people that is seeking his presence in the middle of this circumstance, see where he is in the middle of it, and go stand with him. If that's what you say about this circumstance that I'm in, then I'm with you. Are you hearing me? But we have to be able to say, God, where are you in the middle of all of this? So you search for him and you seek him and then you find him. And then once you find him, you have a decision to make. See, in your soul, you have a mind, you have a will, and you have an emotion. So another way to put that is you have a thinker. You have a thinker. That's your mind. You have a thinker, you have a chooser, and you have a feeler. Thinker, chooser, feeler. So if you go by the feeler all the time, you may feel bad, and then you act bad, you think bad, and everything is bad. See, he tells us in his word, I've taken care of your sins with the blood. I've taken care of the death of your old man by the cross of Christ. And I've killed the old nature because it was hereditary. I've taken care of that. It's dead. It's over. It's dead. I've taken care of that. I've taken care of giving you a new... See, some has to die before a new life comes. So the old life had to die before the new life was able to come. He, not only that, he said, I've given you the new... I've given you you're a brand new creature. You're a brand new creation. So we have all of that, but yet this thing about the law of this, a law of sin and death is still in operation in my flesh. That's what Paul said in chapter 7, still in operation. So what am I going to do? God in Romans 8 says, I've taken care of that too. I've given you the law. He didn't say, I give you the spirit of life. You do have the spirit of life, but he said, I've given you the law of the spirit of life. That has set you free from the law of sin and death. So our soul has, we've got a thinker in our soul. We have a feeler in our soul. We have a chooser. So then we have to be able to choose one or the other. Am I going to follow the law of sin and death? Am I going to follow? Because it's active, it's current. It has no domination over you until you say yes to it. But he said the law of the spirit of life is above the law of sin and death. It's more superior. It is highly superior over the law. But see, we struggle because we're still thinking and we're still choosing according to the law of sin and the law of death. I honestly believe God is at work, not just in this house, but I see him working in this house. I hear Reverend Mike. I hear him talking about this stuff about thinking and choosing and all this. And I hear Brother O.A., Reverend O.A., he talks about, the thinking right, getting to know God here inside us. It's a relationship. I hear Pastor Terry Wilson. He's over here and he's teaching about all of it is just linked together in this house. None of us has said, none of us has compared notes. It is by the Spirit of God. Here's what I see God doing in this congregation. He is my fist is not us. He's not hitting us. He's pounding away at the very thing that is causing us to stop our advancement in him. Because we have a lot of work to do. And if we're still struggling with our relationship with God, and if we're still struggling in our walk with God of trying to please him in our own being without the life of who we are given to us, if we're still struggling, who can you help? Hardly anybody. Why? Because you're stuck too. See, our focus should not be on the circumstances. It ought to be on what, I'm about to experience something here because God's here with me. He's in this situation. But see, we think in human terms and with reason, and he wants us to think by the Spirit of God. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death and walk by the Spirit of God, not by the spirit of culture, not by the spirit, watch this, not by the spirit of politics. I don't care which side you're on. Don't walk by the spirit of politics. Now, you ought to have a political value that is based from the Bible. That's what you should have. Everything about life should be based on his word. But see, we have these things that God is wanting to show us and teach us because he said, no, look, I've done the work. All I want you to do is abide. Just begin to abide. That's the reason God brings up things or allows things to be brought up in your life that you struggle with occasionally because you haven't conquered. You're not more than a conqueror in that area. And he's already said, you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. What do we conquer? Anything that wants to take over. I honestly believe that when you're more than a conqueror, not just an overcomer, but when you're more than a conqueror, the enemy realizes it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. He sees it's a waste of time. But if he sees any, if he sees that you're sympathetic in any type of way to evil, he's coming. Jesus said it this way: the enemy is coming to me, but he has nothing in me. Do you know we're going to get that way in our behavior? We already have him abiding in us. We already have everything that he's ever wanted us to have. It's already in us. That's the reason. Yeah, I don't, you know, this thing about praying for the Holy Spirit to come. He's already here. I had one guy to tell me, he said, Pastor, we really need to pray that God would rend the heavens and come down. I said, he's already done that. Why are we looking for something for him to do that he's already done? Y'all with me? So he wants us to experience who he is, and he's always with us, no matter what, no matter where we are. He's always with us, yes or no? And he's always with us, and not only that, he will what? Never leave us, never forsake us. So when you're at your darkest moment in your life, if your mind is on the flesh, it's going to bring you to a place of sin and death. So our minds, we have to choose. We have to be thinking about the things of God. God, what do you say about this? God, how do you feel about this? God, I'm being mistreated. I'm being mistalked about. They're saying this. They're saying that. What do you say? You know, I complained, and I have complained. Has anybody in here ever complained to God? You know, we us religious folks will say, no, I'll never have complained. Well, you lying. I've complained to God, and I said, God, they're doing this, saying this, and acting. All of this is being done to me. And my other question was what? What are you going to do about it? And he always has the perfect answer. It's the time when Peter goes and, you know, he's been told he's going to go die. And he's going to go die because of Christ. But yet there's John the Beloved. He hadn't heard anything about what's going to happen to John. So he complains. And the Lord told me the same thing he told Peter. He said, what is that to you? So what they're talking about you? So what they're doing this? So what? What is that to you? I want you to follow me. I don't want you to be so involved in what they're doing that you miss what I'm doing in the middle of this situation. I want to show you a different way of mine that I want you to learn. So when this happens again, you'll be able to breeze right through it and be able to tell others about it. But they did me wrong. God, here's another one. They did me wrong. They just did me wrong. I felt like the Lord was asking me a question after I said that time. Lord, they're doing me wrong. They're just really doing me wrong. Was it as bad as they did to me? And I said, no, sir. They said, well, just keep walking with me. See, the whole thing is about not what can be done about the situation, but it's about what am I going to experience about God in the middle of this situation. Boy, that's the reason James says, you know, I'd like to talk to James about all this stuff when he says, count it all joy. I mean, just count it all joy. When various kinds of trials and he said, count it. He said, what are you saying? He said, every time you have a trial come, I said, well, that's a joy. I wonder what kind of joy I'm going to get out of that one. You know, can't make the payment. I'm 3 months behind. Well, that's a joy. I wonder what I'm going to get out of this one. This messes up. This happened, that happened. He said, count all of them. Count every one of them. Joy. Why is that? James was focused on what? Not the trials. He was focused on the presence of God in the midst of the trial, and it's going to become joy to him to be able to live in the midst of the trial with his life being lived through him, and he'll be able to see God like he's never seen God before. Yes. Yes. And in the midst of your next one, everybody say, there will be a next one. And in the middle of your next one, here's what you ask. God, what are you going to show me in this one that you could not show me any other time? You get that? What is it that you want to show me in this that I'm going through that you could not show me at any other time? Because he wants our set. He wants our mind. He wants who we are to be set on who he is. That way, no matter what we're going through, our eyes are turned to him. Because I'm free from the law of sin. I'm free from the law of death. Because I have the law of the Spirit of life living in me. And so do you. So how are we gonna do this? If this is a situation that we're actually living, attaching ourselves to the law of sin and death with our agreement, how are we going to fix this in our soul? It's not in our spirit. How are we going to fix this in our chooser, in our thinker, and in our feeler? So you begin to see that what's happening is he is bringing us to fullness of him, of how we live. So basically, we have to repent. You know what that means? I'm going in this direction, per this message, I'm going in this direction, and it's following the law of sin and death. Repent is to turn around and go in the direction of the law of the Spirit of life. See, that's the repentance. We've made repentance something that is done here at an altar. We can come to this altar and cry. I'm not against tears. I have them. We can cry, we can plead, we can do all this kind of stuff and get up from there and still walk in toward the law of sin and death. There's been no repentance. There's been a lot of tears, there's been a lot of crying, there's been a lot of sorrow, there's been a lot of grief, there's been a lot of all of that happening. But you know what happens at an altar? If somebody built an altar in the Old Testament, what was about to happen? Something is going to die. So whenever you go to an altar, something's going to die. Or it really wasn't an altar. That's the reason coming and doing all this other without the turning to God, doesn't matter. I've been around a lot of pastors that they want to fill the altars up. Nothing wrong as long as they're repenting. But when there's no repentance in the thing of filling the altars up, then there's no fruit. I'm not against altars. I love altars. I really do. But here's what we've got to do. We've got to get to the place to where our mind, our soul is set. No matter what we're going through, our soul is set on the law of the Spirit of life. So here's a question for you. What are the laws of the Spirit of life? If you're in the middle of something that's going on, what is it that God's saying? What is God saying about that? Let's just say in your midst of a financial crisis or a financial crunch, what is God saying? What does he say about it? Let's say you're in the midst of having sickness, and you've got some sickness. See, don't be in agreement with the sickness. I'm not saying don't say you're sick. See, that's denial. Don't deny, but proclaim. This is what the doctor says about me, but I am going to follow the law of the life of the Spirit. Law of the Spirit of life. I'm going to be in agreement with that. Because what does the Bible say? I am the Lord your God who heals you. I am the Lord your God who heals you. I am the Lord your God who heals you. I can be in agreement with that. You know why? Because he said, that's what he said. None of these diseases will come upon you. I am the Lord your God who heals you. So you have to make that kind of stuff personal. All the scriptures, all this thing about the law of the Spirit of life, it's a law. It's always there. But we don't always follow it. And the Spirit of God is navigating this house to a place to where when all these troubles come, and by the way, they're going to be worse than what you've experienced before. Some of them. But you don't look at that. Your focus is, what am I going to experience of God in the midst of what I'm going through? I'm going to count this one joy. Look at the joy I'm going to get out of this one. Why? It's a preference. I prefer the law of the Spirit of life over the law of sin and death. And he's already made me free of the law of sin and death. I'm free from it. In other words, it has no dominion over me. So here's what I want to do. So we have got to get this place that we're saying yes to what God has already done. And we have to find this place inside us that says, Lord, I have a tendency to follow the law of sin and death in places that I really need to turn and start seeing and start following the law of the Spirit of life. I would like, if you're one of those people that says, you know, I can recognize some places in my life that I was in agreement with the law of sin and death and not in agreement with God's law of the Spirit of life, and I want that to change today. If that's you, I'd just like for you to stand up. I want you to stand up. If you want to say, I want to repent from being in some agreement in some areas with the law of sin and death, and I want to turn to the law of the Spirit of life. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. I just want you to stand up and say, yes, Lord, I want to. So we need the breakthrough in our area to say, God, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do this for me. Matter of fact, I want you to move from where you are. I want you to come down here just quickly, 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 quickly. You know, God's intention was never to make bad people good. Crowd in. Come on, crowd in. God's intention was never to make bad people good. God's intention was to give dead people life. That's a big difference. See, his intention has always been to give you the fullness of what he has for you. That's his intention. That's the heart of the Father. That's his intention. But see, our intention to receive it must really needs to match his passion to give it. When you get in those places, you find the things about responding to God. How do I respond? How do I respond to God in this? You have to find him. What does he say about it? And then start saying the same things that he's saying. Then you're led by the Spirit of God to be able to say what God is saying about you and about the provisions, about whatever it is that he wants you to have in the midst of all of it. Psalm 16 says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You feel those times where you everything around you is shaken, and you may feel a little bit, but I'm telling you, as long as you're in the kingdom, you're not shaken. This said, I have set the Lord. In other words, he made it his intention to have the Lord before him. Not my will, but his will. See, Jesus fought that battle in the Garden of the Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. I have set the Lord before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. With all the shaking going on, he said, therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory rejoices. My flesh shall dwell securely, notice. My person shall dwell securely. Thou will make known to me a path of life. In other words, in the midst of this shaking, you're going to show me a path that I'm going to walk in. And I have set you before me because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to find out what you want in the middle of all this, and this is what I'm going to do, if it costs me everything. Anytime a promise of God is contested, that means he just wants to give you more. See, in this house, we really need to grab hold of these promises, grab hold of his word, grab hold of these things that God has for us. God said about us, and God said about the provisions, about whatever it is. God wants us to be able to grab hold of those promises and never let them go. But every promise will have a conflict. Will you believe it? Will you follow it? So you set these promises and find them in the Word of God. I set the Lord before me. That you will make a path of life known before me. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forever. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for in all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'll forget none of your benefits. I'm not going to forget your benefits. You pardon my iniquities. You've already done that for me. You heal all my diseases. All of you that are sick, you need to hold on to this verse that says, you are my healer. You heal all my diseases. You are the healer. I'm going to believe you. I'm not going to believe the law of sin and death anymore. I'm going to follow you. This is what you say, God. You've pardoned all my iniquities, and you're the healer of all my diseases. You redeem my life from the darkest pit. You crown me with loving kindness and compassion. We talked about that last week, who satisfies my years with good things. You're going to satisfy the remainder of my years with good things. So that your youth is renewed. So that my youth is renewed like an eagle. So what have you got to look for? A renewing from the presence of God. A renewing. Who wants that? Is that yours? Is that yours? See, that's over in Psalm 103. Get it out. Look at it. Isaiah 54 says this, for it's like in the days of Noah to me. You've sworn that you will never be angry with me. That you'll never rebuke me. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but your loving kindness will never be removed from me. And my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Who's that for? That's for all of us. You know, so when we begin to have these doubts, you start saying, I'm going to agree with what you say in this situation. Behold, watch this. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it to health and healing. I'll bring you to a place of health and healing. How many of you want that? You know, agree with it. Why? So I said, well, you know, I'm not looking for the reasons why it's not happening. I'm looking for the reasons why it is happening. And it's going to happen. Why? Because God said it. I'm going to bring you to a place of health and healing. And I will heal you. And I will reveal to you an abundance of peace and truth. Psalm 118 says this, give thanks to the Lord for he is good and his loving kindness lasts forever. His loving kindness lasts forever. From my distress, I call upon your name. The Lord answers me and he sets me into a large place. He sets me into a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. Psalm 35, let them shout for joy and rejoice. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. He delights in my prosperity as a servant. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord has made me the head and not the tail. We shall be above and not beneath. I will lift up mine eyes into the mountains from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. He made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip. Who keeps me and he will not slumber. He will not go to sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade on my right hand. The Lord will not smite me, neither by day nor by, or the sun will not smite me, neither by day nor by night. The Lord will protect me from all evil. The Lord will protect me from all evil. The Lord will protect me from all evil. The Lord will guard my going out and my coming in from this day forth. Even though I pass through the waters, he will be with me. When I pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm me. Even though I walk through the fire, I will not be burned. The flames will not touch me. You won't even smell like smoke. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When you're struggling with your future, get it. Get it inside you. Begin to declare it. See, we're a people of proclamation. 2 Corinthians 9 says, God is able to bless me abundantly. So that in all things and at all times, I'll have everything that I need. Psalm 40 says this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of all the ends of the earth, he never faints nor does he grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Have you not heard that? He gives power to the weak. To all the, you feel weak? He gives power to the weak. And for all those who might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with the wings up like eagles, and shall turn and not and run and not be weary, and shall walk and not grow faint. Two more. And this is just a few. He says this, don't be anxious for anything, but in every situation. Which situation? Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. But in every situation, what does he say? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the God of peace, and the peace of God, which transcends all your understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Numbers 6. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Do you understand that what it's saying? That's the definition of a smile. See, the Lord is smiling. He's not angry. He's smiling upon you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. This is the beginning of your days of following and walking after the Spirit of God and you being consumed with knowing what the laws of the Spirit of life is, because that's where you want to go. That's where you want to go. See, the temptations will be, do the same old thing you've always done. But he said, what God has to say for you, I have set you free from that. I have freed you from the law of sin and the law of death. You don't have to go that way. Choose life. Then you'll begin to look at every situation as an opportunity for you to experience God like you've never experienced him before. And then the deposit in your soul that will be made from God himself will be there forever. And you will be able to take pieces of that and give it to others who are struggling just like you are today. They don't need the sermons. They need the life that's being lived. They need the testimonies of a true God and a true people that is following their God no matter what it costs them. That's what this world, that's what this county, this state, this, that's what this country needs. Yes, Lord. See, this is your time. This is your time with him. This is your time of saying, I'm done with this, and I'm turning to him. See, it's not about salvation. It's about a maturity that we can walk in and show who he is and show the magnificence. See, Peter says that he's given us all of these promises. He's given us all of these promises that we will be able to become partakers of what? His divine nature. 1 John tells us that he says, as he is, so are we in this world. See, there's an anointing that's falling upon all of you. There's the presence that is quickening. He said he would quicken your mortal bodies. That word quicken means two things. It means it will come alive and it will grow up. It's not just about becoming alive. It's about come alive and to mature. Your quickening is he's going to hasten your growing up. Amen. Amen. See, this is not with me and you. This is between you and God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Father, thank you for your word. We choose this day to repent, to not follow after the law of sin and death, but we will follow after the law of the Spirit of life. Show us in your word everything that we need to believe and proclaim and walk in, that we may glorify and magnify who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Well, everyone else can stand to your feet. So the next thing that you have that's difficult, that's a hardship, that's a trial, that's whatever, you need to count the joy. It's going to be joy in this for me. And then you begin to say, God, what do you want to show me today that you could not show me before? What do you want to show me in the midst of this thing that I'm going through that you have not been able to show me before? Because I want to see it. And I want to walk in it. Amen. God bless you. I hope and pray that the Spirit of God spoke to you today. And we're just really grateful that you're here. God's people, the church, will make the difference on this earth. That's the reason we're here. So we at Father's Vineyard, we love God, love people, make a difference. God bless you. You're adjourned.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.